cross. It was a shame and a loss. He suffered it all.
He suffered it all.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me. My Savior died. On that cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name. He loves me so. Now I am his. He's mine, I know.
He suffered it all.
Surely they thought that this would be the end of this man. But on that third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away.
He rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
My Savior died. On that cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know.
He suffered it all.
He suffered it all.
Because he loved me.
Because he loved me.
He suffered it all.
Good morning again, dear friends. This is Gerald Finney, lead counsel and assistant director of the Biblical Law Center. The theme of this broadcast is separation of church and state from a biblical perspective. I am a born-again believer. The most important thing for anyone, of course, is salvation. But after that, we as Christians are told that we are enlisted by God as soldiers in His army. One front we have not effectively fought on is on the front of separation of church and state and separation of God and state. Although that is the main issue we deal with in this broadcast, we touch on many, many other biblical principles that may be helpful to you as you study the Word of God. In last week's broadcast, I taught on self-government. The first 15 minutes this week, I'm going to teach on family, government, and conscience. In the second two segments, I will teach on the biblical principles of civil government. You will find all of these broadcasts archived on the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com, spelled just like it sounds, churchandstate.com. On that website, you'll find many resources that will be of help to you in studying this issue. Especially helpful might be the blog page, where you'll find a list of articles that I have done on the separation of church and state blog. Let me begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness towards us. Thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life, not only that we might have eternal life, but that we might enjoy all spiritual blessings. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to fight this war against powers, against principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this earth, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Help us to be worthy soldiers, and we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll begin the study of family, government, and conscience. Prior to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, man and woman were co-regents. Neither ruled over the other. After the fall, God established family government. He said to the woman, Genesis 4:16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The Bible teaches that the husband is to be the head of the wife. Now, I know some people today discount the King James translation of the Word of God. They don't like things in the Bible, and so they change them. This is one thing the modernists have changed, but it's still there, in fact. The Bible teaches the husband is to be the head of the wife. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 5:22-26 says, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 1 Peter 3:1-5-7 says, likewise ye wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Timothy 2:11-15 says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Dear friends, I did not write the Bible. God wrote it. Now, if you don't understand that, that's another deep study. Let's go on now to children. Children are to be instructed and led by the parents. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy 11:18-21 says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Proverbs 4:1-10-11 says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Ephesians 6:1-4 say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And young people, that is our purpose on earth, is to please the Lord. So parents, not the state, are to care for their children. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Even an infidel has a love for his children placed there by God. Matthew 7:9-11 says, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God desires that man satisfy his sexual desire only in the marriage of a man and a woman. In fact, there is only one kind of marriage, the marriage between a man and woman. All these other types of alleged marriages are perversions. They are not marriage. They are the result of rebellion. And rebellion, my friend, is as the sin of witchcraft. Exodus 20:14 commands, thou shalt not commit adultery. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. God desires parents, not civil government, to provide a God-centered education for their children. Deuteronomy 6:4-7 says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You can also see other verses, for example, Proverbs 5:1, and also verse 2, Proverbs 22:6, Ephesians 6:4. After the fall, God gave mankind a chance to be directed by his conscience and awareness of doing wrong, still to be individually controlled only by self-government. God had told man prior to the fall, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that is, of the forbidden fruit, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." That's in Genesis 3:5. After man ate the forbidden fruit, God told them, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil." Genesis 3:22a. Dispensationalists usually refer to this economy as conscience, the title being taken from these verses. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also being witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another." Romans 2:14 through 15. The Holy Spirit also strove with man during the days before the upcoming flood. Genesis 6:3 says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. God gave mankind certain responsibilities. During this stewardship, man was responsible to respond to God through the promptings of his conscience, and part of a proper response was to bring an acceptable blood sacrifice, as God had taught him to do. Genesis 3:21. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Genesis 4:4. "And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." We have a record of only a few responding, and Abel, Enoch, and Noah are especially cited as heroes of the faith. We also have a record of those who did not respond and who by their evil deeds brought judgment on the world. Cain refused to acknowledge himself a sinner even when God continued to admonish him. Genesis 4:3 and 7 says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Of course, Cain's offering was rejected by God. And God told Cain, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." So murder came on the scene of human history. In the story of Cain and Abel, we see that God still did not allow civil government. After Cain killed Abel, the Lord told Cain, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Since Cain feared that everyone that findeth me shall slay me, as recorded in Genesis 4:14, God said, as recorded in Genesis 4:15, "Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." The supreme ruler of the universe was telling man that he had no authority to rule over man. Government means direction and control. So God was telling mankind, in effect, although not in those specific words, there will be no civil government at this time. Man, you will not rule over man at this time. You see, contrary to the thoughts of many, God is the supreme ruler of the universe. He's letting us play our little games right now. He's letting us do things our way. He's letting us choose not to be under him as nations, individuals, families, and churches. But the day of reckoning is coming, my dear friends. In fact, in America right now, we are reaping the consequences of rebellion against God as individuals, families, churches, and civil governments. I'll be back after the break.